Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, bringing you our special holiday edition today. I don't know why we didn't have a little jingle bells to open it up today, but we didn't. But thank you for joining us every week, as you will in the new year, talking to some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs all around the city of Atlanta, the state of Georgia, and also bringing in entrepreneurs every single week that have been very successful in their businesses and showing you the do's and don'ts about running a successful business. As I am joined every week with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director of KSU's Entrepreneurship School, which I want to get to in a minute today. So are you feeling the holiday spirit here?
I am definitely feeling the holiday spirit.
All done, gift giving, everything is in good shape?
Not in good shape, but will be in good shape by December 25th.
I feel a little bit of Phipps or Lennox coming after this show today. Is it perimeter or what's accurate about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is, I guess that's apropos somewhat, right? Because the life of an entrepreneur is that you think that we're organized all the time. And it probably goes to speak that for our businesses we are, but sometimes in our personal lives we are not. And we have a very special show, which I want to get to. And we've got great guests today because Lee and Chris both brought in their children today, which is not all of their kids, but almost all of the kids came in today. And we thought it'd be interesting to bring to you an angle today that we're going to do a couple of times during the year. We're going to have all sorts of things for you next year, not just entrepreneurs and kids that are pitching business ideas, but we're going to have people that actually teach entrepreneurship in the high schools. And it's great to have the kids on today because what is life like behind the scenes when this entrepreneur who's very successful comes home, and how do the children deal with it? So we're going to bring you all of that or more. And as we go through this, just make sure that you check out any of the replays on shrimptankpodcast.com. You can check out our first show that we did with Rhonda and Frank Duffy, Duffy Realty, actually named one of the top 10 entrepreneurs recently in patch.com, which was online. And also Tom DiGregorio, who came in last week, talked to you about waterproofing basements and the business that he had, the value of building culture, which was truly unbelievable. So that being said, you know, Chris, we did not have a chance in the first couple of these shows to talk about the unbelievable exploding things that are happening at KSU. And I'm wondering if you might tell everybody a little bit more about how this entrepreneurship program is evolving at KSU.
Yeah, it's very exciting to be part of this movement. We are brand new. So KSU's Entrepreneurship Center has been in existence now for about a year. And we are going to have the only entrepreneurship major in the state. So we are quickly becoming the destination point for people who are serious about entrepreneurs.
What does that mean exactly? When you say being serious about being an entrepreneur, there are a lot of people that wake up with a light bulb over their head when they get up in the morning and say, yeah, I think I want to start a business. But how are you going to start to groom children that become teenagers into becoming the future entrepreneurs here in the state of Georgia?
Well, I think that's the thing that makes us stand out and makes us different, because you can't lecture somebody into becoming a great entrepreneur. So certainly we're going to have great curriculum, and we do have that the students go through, but we also have something called the KSU Experience Portfolio, where we require students to do things. So you really act first, then learn, not learn, then act. So we act, learn, and build in that order. And that's how we basically not just inform entrepreneurs, but transform these young folks into the better versions of themselves.
As you say that very statement of not lecturing people into entrepreneurship, I'm realizing the failing of my ways as a parent already, because I've been trying to lecture my three children into why they need to take over my businesses in the future, failing miserably at it, by the way. But now I see the error of my ways. I need to get them to KSU, into the entrepreneurship program. And what will a student learn there? You know, when you graduate with a degree, there are degrees in finance and accounting, communications. What does one actually graduate with when you get a degree in entrepreneurship?
Well, when you think about entrepreneurship too, it encompasses every aspect of a business. So you have to have an understanding of the finance, of operations. The difference though, like in entrepreneurship, dividend growth theory and capital asset pricing models, all these wonderful things you learn in a finance department.
Learned it and forgot it.
But those things are, do they really help you meet a paycheck on Friday? You know, when you pull up to that office and you see all of those cars in the parking lot that you are responsible for, those car payments as the entrepreneur, how does that help you? So an entrepreneurial finance course is completely different from a finance course. An entrepreneurial marketing course is different from traditional marketing. So everything that we're doing is completely different in that it's taught from the view point and the mindset of an entrepreneur.
Do you still believe that somebody that might go the corporate route, maybe get an MBA, wanted to work in that management track for that Fortune 500 company, would still benefit from being in a curriculum where they could learn to get an entrepreneurship degree?
Absolutely. And sometimes this may sound borderline offensive to some, but you have to unlearn those bad habits you acquire in corporate life. Because a lot of the skills that get you successful in corporate America aren't necessarily the skills that you need to be a successful entrepreneur.
Like how to suck up to your boss and things like that.
Exactly. Or how to have a meeting before the pre-meeting and then form a committee around a problem as opposed to just charging forward and solving it.
Office politics, like Lee Heisman knows how to do, very good at it, knows how to gift give at the right time. But those are important things they don't teach you in college all the time. You know,
absolutely.
You have professors of finance that don't teach you about HR and legal and navigating the political highways, right? You know, it's big stuff.
Yeah, it's very much a difficult task because entrepreneurship is something that you have to experience first to really understand the complexities around it. And so that's why we're big into the experience of being an entrepreneur as opposed to just informing people. And that way we separate those wantrepreneurs, if you will.
I love
There's
that.
A lot of people who want to be an entrepreneur, love talking about it, but the hard work of doing it, that's what separates folks because it is the toughest job in business. There is no tougher job.
We have two of them now that we have to add in as sort of our buttons that we're going to add in here. Now we've got Boss Hole from the last meeting, which Hanks gets 100% credit for that one. That's a great one. And now we've got Wantrepreneur. So when we get people on that are a little bit lame and they're not saying the right things on there, we'll just click the Wantrepreneur button and we'll get them going. But I want to talk more about KSU. I've got some questions and sort of our lightning round in a little bit for Chris, who's teaching and growing a fabulous curriculum there. I think for those of you that are listening today, you need to keep your eye on the radar for KSU on the whole. It is a rising school. But this program that he's put together there and the children that are in it now are going to do fabulous. And I predict that within the next 5 years, it's going to be one of the biggest and the best. I saw, Chris, before we get to our guest today, that recently in the last couple of weeks, Florida State, which I think is the only other entrepreneurship program, that one of the parents donated $100 million to the program at Florida State. $100 million.
Wow.
Check it out.
I was not aware of that.
I did. I read the article, $100 million that they donated to the program at FSU.
Wow. Well, you know, anybody who's willing to donate $100 million to the KSU Entrepreneurship Center, definitely more than willing to have a conversation about that.
Kids, I'm hearing naming rights as we're saying it right now. So, all right. Well, hey, we thought today would be a lot of fun, especially in the holiday season, getting the holiday spirits at. We would talk to some of the children of entrepreneurs, because what's it like behind closed doors when your kids have to deal with somebody like me whose computer is now an extra appendage that I have in my body because it's pretty much with me everywhere, or taking a call in the middle of your kid's concert while they're singing, or you're probably not listening anyway, things like that. How do you deal with that at home? So we're going to do sort of two phases of this. First on, we've got Hannah Heisman. I'm going to give you a little bio here. I got a bio on you. I'm going to have to ask you about this. But a licensed soccer referee in Georgia right now, started last weekend and potentially earning up to $600 to $700 a weekend, which I want to talk to you about that and what that looks like. So we appreciate you coming on today. And we've also got Catherine Hanks on today. So welcome. You're a Girl Scout. We're going to talk a little bit about starting a business, but I want to talk more about the clubs that you're involved in. But thank you both for taking time out of your break to come on to the Shrimp Tank today.
Thank you for having us.
So I guess I want to start out with the general question here for both of you. What's life like at home dealing with a dad, or in this case, you know, a mom or a dad that's an entrepreneur?
Well, I know with my dad, he's always busy, always thinking about entrepreneurship and
thinking about being awesome.
No.
And so is that difficult sometimes when if you got, you know, the parents are home and sometimes you've got things going on at school or stuff like that, but they're constantly talking about work or ideas. Is that hard? Why is that hard for you, Hannah?
Anything, like I'll get in the car and he'll automatically be on a phone call and then get on to another one.
Yeah, I've noticed that Lee is constantly on the phone. He's on the phone all the time. So does he make phone calls while you're in the car?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. You could be saying something. He says, hold on a second, I have to make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your father, Hannah, has owned a number of businesses, and I've gotten to know him well over the last number of years. When he tells his employees to jump and they immediately ask how high, how does he get the same respect from you at home?
Not at all.
So do you think that it's difficult that when dad's the boss and then he thinks he may be the boss of you, which he may be or not be, you know, how do you talk to him when he starts to treat you like an employee in the company or an employee at the university? How have you guys had to deal with that?
I tell him that.
Have you said that before?
Mm-hmm.
Have you said that before too, Catherine? Have you ever said, don't treat me like an employee?
No, I haven't.
Now, what do you say to him when you say that, Hannah?
I said, you're treating me like an employee, and I don't do tech work.
So you're not fixing the computers at home?
No, not at all.
Now, I just want to ask both of you, have either of you ventured into doing anything entrepreneurial in your life yet?
Not really.
Well, it sounds like, though, you just got one, you got a referee, I guess it's accreditation or something like that. Did you take a class to become a referee?
Yeah.
And what was that all about?
It was like a 9-hour course, and I got to blow a whistle for an hour and then run around and then walk back and forth and throw a flag at people.
Well, that's true. Most kids might be on a Saturday, might be home watching cartoons, but you decided to get out of bed, mm-hmm. go blow the whistle, go throw some flags at people. And then what did you do? Now you can actually get paid to be a referee?
Every 2 weekends.
So every 2 weekends, there's a soccer tournament or something like that?
Like, you can tell them when you're open, and they can tell you what soccer games are open on the days that you can be open.
Wow. And how much money can one make doing soccer tournaments for a weekend?
On a tournament weekend, they said you can make up to $600.
$600? Wow. Shh. I don't want to lose any employees here on the on the show. $600 for kicking and screaming and throwing flags and blowing whistles at people?
Mm-hmm. And trying not to turn around and throw a red card at the people cursing behind you.
So now, how has your father being an entrepreneur helped you be better at that role?
Well, I remember he picked me up, and the whole way home, he kept telling me, I'm so proud. I'm so proud. You're becoming an entrepreneur. Just like me, you can run my business. And like you said earlier, he always wants me to run his business. See, and so does my sister.
Both of you guys have to learn and run the business. But we've learned here from Chris that lecturing won't work. That won't work right now. Hey, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X, bringing you this program every week. By the way, you need to mark this in your calendar. Whether you're at your desk finishing out a day or you're in the car, we'll be on from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. every Tuesday come the new year, bringing you some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs, some of the people that have made tens of millions of dollars running businesses. We'll also bring kids that are pitching ideas. We're actually going to be on the road for some of these as well at schools around in and around the area of Atlanta, really fostering and helping grow entrepreneurship. I'm here with Chris Hanks, who's the executive director of KSU, the entrepreneurship that's growing there now. And we are with special guests today because it's Christmas time. And we need to talk about what life is like behind closed doors with an entrepreneur. So we're sitting here now with Catherine Hanks, and we're sitting with Hannah Heisman, talking to them a little bit about the life of being an entrepreneur. Now, Catherine, I wanted to ask you, your dad has been doing this for a long time.
He has.
In terms of this whole just entrepreneurship ideas, many years growing a fabulous program at the University of Georgia. And so how do you recommend for somebody who's a anywhere from an 8-year-old to a 14-year-old out there, learning to live when dad has the work ethic where he's thinking about work all the time?
Well, I guess just be patient and make sure that you still get time with him, because he will make time for you. You just have to get past the work.
Is that hard? Is it hard to command time from not just an entrepreneur, but in general, because you have a father that's an entrepreneur? Is it hard to get that time?
Sometimes it is. But usually he drags me away from my homework to play.
That's right. Because I am notorious for beating her really bad at Mario Grand Prix.
Mario Kart Grand Prix.
There we go.
Mario Kart.
Absolutely. There we go. Mario something. Yeah. Whatever it is, I win.
No, I always beat him.
Well, that begs a question for both of you, because entrepreneurs tend to be very competitive. Not that I would ever do this at home with my children, but they tend to be very competitive. Do you find that entrepreneurs, including like your dads and stuff like that, are very competitive people?
Yes. Especially yes. when you try going go-karting with him and the back sticker literally says, do not bump. And he spins you and your sister around so he can pass you.
Is that what happened to you?
Yes.
Wait a minute. I want to hear the story. So you went go-karting and your dad went go-karting too?
He always follows go-karting with me.
And does he let you in or does he not let you in? He does not let you in.
No.
Now, how do you feel about that? Because I have a feeling that happens to both of you, you know, and I can tell you at home, the Jenkins children suffer greatly because I did not let them win at anything. How does that make you feel sometimes when it's like, well, my dad, or my mom, who's an entrepreneur, won't let me win?
It makes me want to win even more. And one day, go up to their face and print it on a plaque and show it to their face. And it says, I beat you.
Is that what you're going to do when you beat him eventually?
Yes. I beat him once go-karting, and it took me forever.
Well, I knew that happened with my children with ping pong. We play ping pong all the time, and I would play them, and I'm left-handed. And eventually what happened is that I switched to playing right-handed because I'm like, well, this is, you know, kind of boring. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they beat me right-handed. Now it's like, well, you have to go back to playing left-handed because you suck right-handed. You can't win. So, but I think that's hard for children. You know, you grow up in a family. Entrepreneurs are built to win. They're built to compete. And so sometimes with our kids, you know, we want them to be the best, right? And so having that competitive juices at home it's very difficult. How do you find, I was going to ask both of you being a child, because I know we all have this vacation time in theory coming up. How is it dealing with an entrepreneurial dad or mom on vacation time? What's it like?
Well, my dad, he always brings his computer wherever we go on vacation. He always has his computer and he's like working like in the car just whenever he has spare time and taking calls when we're supposedly on vacation.
Well, thank God I didn't bring my kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, because is it fair to the public, Catherine, to deprive the world of this much awesomeness even when I'm on vacation? Is
You're
that fair?
You're not awesome.
But I'm sorry, I didn't hear you over the deafening sound of my awesomeness.
You're not awesome.
So one thing is, but you see Dad bring his computer, but he's still like, so the work doesn't really ever end, right? You know,
yeah.
There's more work there. And sometimes still have to take calls. Now, does Mr. Heisman still take calls on vacation?
Yes.
Ooh, that was a double eyeball on that.
For an anniversary gift, he got a leather, how do you call it, laptop holding thing? I don't, and he brings that everywhere. And I'll sit in the front seat, and me and my sister call shotgun, and we'll fight to the death to see who gets to sit in the front seat. But whenever it's in my dad's car, it's not really worth it because you have to hold his laptop on your lap. You have to hold all five of his hand sanitizers, his business work.
So, but he does have a routine down, I guess. That's right.
Yes.
So it's the same all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really change when you go on vacation?
Nope.
Nope.
And so how do you feel about that? Do you think that an entrepreneur that's out there, should they try to just basically cut cords from what they're doing and get rid of it? Or has it made you get it more inspired over time that, hey, you know, my dad's working hard and trying to make things happen? What's your attitude towards it?
Sometimes, because I'll be like talking and then he'll go, hold on, I got to make a call. And then an hour later, he'll go, what were you talking about?
Wow, that's crazy. Now, Hannah, your father said that you are entrepreneurial, and he said, what's it like to be at a jump zone with your friends and tell them you have to leave early because you have to work the next day on a Saturday? How did your friends react to that when they heard you talk about that?
They were all very confused and interested at the same time. Like I had three heads.
Do you all know now at your age, do you know any kids that are in school with you now that either running businesses or they're very entrepreneurial?
No, not really.
Nobody right now? Everybody's mostly focused on Snapchat and Instagram and things like that?
At least you know what Snapchat is.
Although my dear friend Laura told me I only have 4 or 5 people on Snapchat, so there's a problem with it. I only put my kids on it for now. I didn't have a full Snapchat, but that is really what the social media is going to. And how do, I'm curious, as you see it on the other side, how does the social media influence the decisions that you guys make and the clothes you wear and the shoes you buy and things like that, the things you see on Instagram and Snapchat? Does it influence your behavior a lot?
Yeah, because I have Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr, almost every social media thing. And you can follow like different outfit things or fashion things. And that's how you can tell, oh, I can buy this here, or I can look this up, or this is how someone dresses. And it kind of influences you.
I personally don't have any social media.
No social media at all right now?
Not really.
Is it, you're just not interested in it right now?
No.
That's probably for the best. It's probably for the best. Yeah, it's very difficult today because it does. It influences the kids a lot. Chris, is there gonna be a program at some point during the summer for children who are younger that are thinking about entrepreneurship at the school? Will that get?
Yeah, we tend to do at least one boot camp for kids. Our most recent boot camp was kids from 8 to 12 years old that we taught for about a week in developing entrepreneurial skills with kids who were struggling in school. So worked out really, really well.
Well, Catherine and Hannah, we want to thank you for being on the Shrimp Tank. You made it. You're done. That's it. You're finished. Yes. But thank you for joining us on your holiday break. That is entrepreneurial in and of itself, being able to come out here because you could have been home playing games or doing something else. But you joined your entrepreneurial dads here for the day. So thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X. I am your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director of Kennesaw State Entrepreneurship School, a tremendously growing program in the state and something that you really need to keep your eye out on here for. You know, one of the reasons that I got involved with doing the Shrimp Tank podcast and what we're going to be doing here is that, you know, when you look at what's going on in America today, the greatest things that have happened over time, the real great stories over time, come from entrepreneurs, the businesses that get created, the families' lives that get changed. Notice recently a guy like Mark Zuckerberg, who just donated 99% of his stock away to charity, billions of dollars that he could have taken for himself. You noticed places locally here, like in Atlanta. I was down in Pont City and I saw another King of Pop store, which is another unbelievable business. I was in Pond City and I saw MailChimp, a local Atlanta business that's grown as well. And these companies that have done fabulous. And it's the kids of today and the kids that will go to college that will ultimately create these entrepreneurs of tomorrow. So I'm just curious, Chris, in the program that you teach, do you notice that there are 1, 2, 3 things that you really try to pound into the kids when it comes to entrepreneurship about building the greatness of the future for tomorrow? And do you get involved in any political conversations at all, especially because it's going to become a political year?
We do. You know, it's interesting to me that if you interviewed my students, they probably couldn't tell you who the third president of the United States was, but they can all tell you who Mark Zuckerberg is.
That might be me, right? Too.
So entrepreneurs are rock stars. And so that brings the enthusiasm and they're all excited and they want to be an entrepreneur. But yet the hard work of becoming one is the difficulty in letting them experience. So what we try to do is infuse a mindset, because if you think about these students coming out of college today, within 10 years, they're probably going to be working jobs that haven't even been invented yet. So the real at-risk student is the one not prepared for that entrepreneurial age. So at one core denominator is we want them to have the mindset where they start thinking like an entrepreneur, because if they treat themselves like a brand, that they're an entrepreneur regardless of who pays them, and they start treating, like if you treated your boss like a customer instead of a boss, you're going to get better results.
Now, the kids that are in here, because we're doing a Shrimp Tank, and obviously when we look at kids' business plans and what they're going to be doing, we aren't actually going to be funding these plans, but we are going to be creating the simulation to help them better understand more about their business. The kids that go through the program at KSU, Are they actually going to get funded? Will they actually get money to start a business, or will this be more academic curriculum to learn about the science of being an entrepreneur?
So our objective with our entrepreneurship major, once that's officially approved, which we have all the curriculum, everything lined up, we're waiting on a vote. Once that's approved, every entrepreneurship major will get $2,000 to start something.
No kidding.
And that $2,000 will be used in the classroom as far as, okay, showing how to do a prototype or what you should, how should you be a good steward of this small amount of money. Because if you're shown to be a good steward of a small amount of money, then we can show you the process of getting a large amount of money and saying, here's what I've done with my $2,000. Now an investor might be more likely to invest if I made a strong return with my $2,000 and turn it into $4,000. Well, that shows that I might be investment worthy.
Well, a lot of you out there may not think that $2,000 sounds like a lot of money, but if you really do your entrepreneurship homework, you'll find that there are many, many multi-billion dollar businesses that get started on $1,000.
Absolutely. And it's an inverse relationship. Studies have shown over and over again that the amount of money raised has an inverse relationship to the success of a business, because you don't learn the skills of bootstrapping and hustling and getting customers to pay for things. You tend to take the more of the field of dream strategy. If you build it, they will come. And so you invest all of your money into building things as opposed to creating value and getting customers to pay for something.
And what do you think about this whole concept of crowdfunding? And then we'll get to our second set of kids that are in here today. On our Christmas or holiday special, I guess I will say Christmas anyway, you know, because I do it as it's almost Christmas. Our holiday special, bringing in Children of Entrepreneurship today. It's interesting. We already had on Rhonda and Frank Duffy, a husband and wife team, and we'll take a couple of these shows and get behind the scenes about husbands and wives that are entrepreneurships together, so you can hear some of the story behind the story, which will be, I think, very, very interesting as well. So the last thing that I wanted to ask you in here is that once the children and the college students go through the program, will there ultimately be some sort of graduate development for them? Will they get a mentor? Will they have somebody who can help see them through if they actually start a business?
Absolutely. We have a formal mentorship program that is being developed now. Every student will be partnered with a mentor that can guide them. In fact, we're taking it a step further, and we're also sort of copying a format from The Voice, where not only are they going to partner from a mentor, but we're going to have competitions where mentors actually work with students. And then we'll move through a process where they get eliminated, where we start with 100 and only one is still standing, and that one will get $100,000.
Lee officially said he wants to be Adam Levine if we do The Voice. So I'll be CeeLo. It's fine. You know, I'll do it. So, but that's going to be a lot of fun. I know that we are going to have more than 500 kids, I think you said the other day, in January at a fabulous program.
Yeah, we're going to be at the next DECA. We're going to keynote a DECA event, which basically DECA is an organization that's been around since the 1950s. I think it stands for like Distributive Education Community, Club Association, because it's an old name from the 1950s. But basically, it's a marketing and business organization for high school. They also have some college chapters. And there's about 500 students that are going to be gathering in January at Mill Creek High School. And we are going to be there live working with those students. And it's going to be great.
Well, that's going to be a fabulous program. We'll talk more about that when we get in the new year and we start re-interviewing many of our great entrepreneurs in the area of Atlanta. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank. Shrimp Tank Podcast is where you can get all of the replays of all of the shows that we have. Plus, there's going to be a litany of entrepreneurship information and articles and other things that you too can look at to help you grow, run, and increase the business that you're managing today. So I want to bring on our second guest today. We've got Molly Heisman, which thank you for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Wait. I just wanted to hear how you sounded in the mic.
You're welcome.
There we go. And we've got Brian Hanks on today. So thanks. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah. I'm excited to have you guys on. I thought, look, based upon the bios that I got on both of you, it almost feels a little Alex Trebek-ish, like we're in that break right now. We're going to get to know a little bit more about you. So Molly, what is it that your dad tells us about that you manage and run garage sales? Is that actually true?
Yeah.
Now, how do you do that? Because that sounds pretty darn entrepreneurial. Like running a garage sale is not easy. Believe me, I have some neighbors that don't realize that they point the signs in the wrong way and they don't place the stuff in the right way. How do you run a garage sale?
Well, You like put the sign. Well, of course, you put the signs up the right way. and well, you just so if you like got the thing for like $10, then you'd price it like a little bit over, like maybe $20, and then they would try to negotiate it. And if they got 15, then you'd still be getting $5 profit. So that'd be good.
So do you have to negotiate a lot?
Well, a little bit, yeah, I guess.
Well, I think that's pretty darn interesting as an entrepreneurial strategy in there. It's like, you look, I have something. If I price it at $10, they're probably going to say, I only want to buy it for $5. If I up the price to $20, even if they negotiate me down, what do you think about that, Chris? Absolutely. I still make $5 more than I thought I would when I started it.
They are learning how to keystone prices. So that's awesome.
And Brian, it says here in your bio here that you're almost an Eagle Scout, which to me is really amazing, because I have to tell you, when I joined the Cub Scouts and I got like my first 4 beads or something like that, I could barely tie a knot. And I did it for 1 year or two, and it did not pan out. And I know how hard that is to do that. Well, what kind of entrepreneurial skills did you learn, or have you had to learn in this effort to become an Eagle Scout, which is amazingly admirable?
Well, right now I'm working on my project and I'm doing a canned food drive. So I'm collecting like 1,000 cans is my goal from various organizations.
Like food cans?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so to do that, I have to like contact different people and like advertise it at different places.
It's funny when he says that, because a lot of times people think about entrepreneurs, they only think about for profit. But a lot of the greatest entrepreneurial organizations are non for profit. Just look at Susan Komen over the years. I think Pink is a whole month now. It's amazing. So how did you put this idea together to get 1,000 cans of food, which is an amazing thing to do for people that are in need?
Well, there's a program at my church called Package of Hope. And so that was what got me interested in it, because that's where you donate cans through the church. And so I went to the organization that ran that, Action Ministries, and I talked to them about doing a canned food drive.
And what are you going to do physically to go get 1,000 cans? I mean, it's got to be difficult. You're not going to cold call a bunch of people and say, hey, do you have a can in the pantry? Or is that what you're doing?
No, I'm just advertising it. Like, I'm doing it at my church, and there's a bin that's set up, and I put information about it in the bulletin and like on the e-blasts that are sent out.
Well, you guys can put me down for 5 cans, because I know there's 5 cans of soup that I'm never going to eat in my pantry, and my wife thinks I am. So I can certainly put those together and help make a difference in that.
Those are the ones in most demand: peanut butter, stews, and soups. So there you go. Those are the ones that they can't have enough of.
Now, when we had your siblings on here, we were talking about dads and entrepreneurialism before. I'm curious to get your take about, you know, what life is like behind closed doors, having a dad that, you know, is running a large organization or a business. What do you see from your eyes?
So whenever we get in the car, he always like puts his hand up, and that means we have to stop talking.
So you know sign language now?
Yes.
This is not like a hand like you're ready to get hit. It's a hand that's like...
It's like this. And like if we're sitting in the back seat, we just see the back of his hand and it means stop talking.
I'm feeling so much better about myself today hearing all this stuff. So this is fantastic. I realized that maybe the traits of entrepreneurs. And what do you see, Brian? What do you see like on a day-to-day basis?
He listens to really weird audiobooks and podcasts all the time. At like 2 times or 3 times the speed, so you can't even understand it.
Yeah, that way, you know, you get through them faster. You just move through them. Let's go.
What is this Deepak Chopra guy I'm listening to during the day? What is that guy?
Yeah. So, yeah, I walk around with that. Because, you know, an entrepreneur can only grow their business. You know, if you stop growing, your business will stop growing. So, you know, you got to constantly stay on top of the things.
But you don't listen to it.
I listen.
It's like you talk while it's going on.
I listen super fast, Brian. I take it in because, you know,
I know you don't
entrepreneurs,
like
we're multi-focused, we're multitasking. We got to go. We got things to do. Place, you know, we got the world to change. Come on.
It's interesting that you're bringing this up now, because it actually has got another question going on in my head. Like, as you watch what your dads do, and being an entrepreneur, what's the thing that makes the least sense to you that they do? There are things that they do that just, it seems to you, it doesn't make any sense at all.
He times everything. Yeah, it's like...
Well, I want to hear more about this. What do you mean he times everything?
Yeah, like, Brian, what
like
do you
not
mean
even
by that?
When he's working, like when we're playing or when, like there's a clock and it always goes off and then he stops it.
That's true.
He never seems to do anything when it stops or it just resets it.
Yes. Ryan, we might have to change this show to Family Confession. I thought it was going to be the shrimp tank, but we're getting a lot. But actually, it's a very interesting thing that you bring up, because a lot of successful entrepreneurs, I will tell you this, and executives who actually really are entrepreneurs inside of a large corporation, one of the skills that I learned, and I don't know if you teach this at the school, is that I stop breaking my life into 1 hour chunks or days chunks. I start breaking my day into 15 minute segments. And I will tell you that and even in my life now, I am not the master of my calendar. My calendar is the master of me. I mean, whatever's in that calendar, I will do. And it's almost like a robot. Is that a skill you've learned over time?
Yeah, because you can't really, you've got to sort of schedule your priorities, right? Instead of prioritizing your schedule. So you have to do that kind of thing. And then there's a lot of times when you don't feel like doing the thing that you have to do. We tend to hide in our businesses and we tend to do the things that we like to do and that are fun for us. But some of the necessary things that have to get done. So if we did something like your suggestion, 15 minutes. Okay, you know what? I'm going to spend 15 minutes on the hardest thing, the thing that that's going to move me the farthest, the fastest. And then if I just spent 15 minutes on that, maybe I can sort of either trick myself and then the 15 minutes turns into 30, or I say, you know what? I did my 15 minutes. I feel good about myself. Because the hard thing about being an entrepreneur too, I found, is if you function on to-do lists, you can't cross off everything. There's always more to do than you have time to do. So at least then you can go to bed saying, you know what? I spent X amount of time on that task. Yeah, I didn't get everything done and I probably never will get everything done, but I did what I was supposed to do because I scheduled my priorities or my priorities.
We had learned many years ago that there's actually this law. It will sound not right when I say it, but there's a law called Parkinson's Law, and has nothing to do with the disease, but it's about that the time that you allot to do a job is the time it will take to fill it. And you'd notice that people that basically give themselves all day to do a job will take all day to fill it. If you give them an hour to do a job, then they'll get it done in an hour. And you'll notice this, kids in school, because sometimes when you didn't study for a test, and then you've got to study, magically you're able to cram all this information really quickly the night before so you can take the exam. And that's sort of behind that law. Now, I'm curious, what would you say about your dad is the thing that makes the least sense to you that you see him do?
He always drinks coffee. Like, so in the morning, he makes coffee, and then he drinks it. And then, like, an hour later, he goes, do you guys want to go get coffee? And then he gets coffee. And then an hour later, he drinks coffee for dinner. He just always drinks coffee.
Well, you know, I actually get the drinking coffee piece. It's the way that Mr. Heisman makes the coffee. I don't get as much, you know. Now, for those of you that are listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast today, one experience you must have in your life is to have Lee Heisman make you a cup of coffee. Just one time in here. He's a master at it and makes the best cup of coffee. Well, we won't rule out the restaurants, but we'll say outside of restaurants, makes the best cup of coffee in Atlanta. I will say that today.
But he, like, always drinks his own coffee, and he's like, oh, this tastes nothing like the other companies. I'm never going to drink any of the other ones. And then he drinks his own coffee, and then later he's like, oh, at the other restaurants and stuff, he's like, oh, this coffee's the best.
Now, have you all thought outside of this? You know, when you look at what your dads do, does it inspire you more to want to be an entrepreneur, or does it inspire you more to say, wow, this is a lot of stuff. I don't know if I could live that kind of life when I grow up.
I don't want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Is that from living around being an entrepreneur all day?
It's just not my interest. That's not my skill set.
But in a certain sense, you're doing it today with this canned food drive. You know, to a certain extent, you've got to have some entrepreneurial skills to put it together. What skills do you think that you may have learned from them being entrepreneurs that you may take into your life to help you do better?
It's given me a lot more leadership qualities.
Well, that's fantastic. And how about you, Hannah? I'm not Hannah Molly. Sorry. How about you, Molly? We don't want to mistake you for your sister.
Well, I sort of do want to be an entrepreneur because you have, like, a lot more free time. Like,
you mean free time or freedom?
Both.
Well, that's great. You know that, because that is one of the things that you can benefit, right? You see that from being an entrepreneur, is that if you manage your schedule right in your business, you can have more free time. You don't necessarily have to work for anybody. You get excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get to control which 12 hours of the day you work. Mm-hmm. So you work half days. You just pick which 12 hours.
And I'm curious, because we ask your siblings this, what you see on vacation. What's it like being with an entrepreneur when you're supposed to go to Disney World or go to this fabulous family vacation? And what do you see the entrepreneur do when you're on vacation?
He gets a lot of emails.
Well, yes. They don't stop, right? They have to go somewhere.
Yes. And do you ever hear me complain about emails?
Yes.
Never. You never hear me complain about the multitude of emails.
Many. What do you see?
Well, he always has, like, we go to the beach, and so he always has, like, his phone or, like, some, like, technology with him so that he can get on calls or emails or texts.
Well, it is true. I will say, when I go on vacation sometimes, my family likes to sleep. But they usually may not get up till about 10 o'clock or so, but somewhere in that nature of 8 o'clock, like I'm out and somewhere in the lobby of a hotel trying to get all my emails and everything else done before everybody else gets up, because it's hard. You know, the entrepreneur doesn't always have people that are there for them when they're gone, checking their emails, checking the phone calls. And it's one of those things. It is like having a new puppy, you know, that you've got to make sure that you watch over it all the time until you get people who can watch over it for you. Well, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X. We're coming to you every week. Remember, next year on your schedules, you should mark down from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. every Tuesday. We'll be bringing you The Shrimp Tank. We've got unbelievable guests. By the way, the first two guests of the year, you're going to want to hear. One of them is going to be Steve Einstein, who owns a business called Classic Tents and Events. Can you imagine having a giant washer and dryer in your building? Well, you couldn't put it in your house if you saw this washer and dryer that literally cleans tents. Would you think about going into that kind of business? And we've got JC and Kim Ordonio that's coming on. Tremendous story, but how many of you would graduate college in this case and say, boy, I want to get into the fence business? Well, JC by himself built one of the biggest fence businesses in the state of Georgia. So these are going to be unbelievable things. And we'll be out on January 21st at the DECA conference with over 500 kids. You're going to get to hear kids live pitching business stuff. So it's going to be pretty exciting stuff. What do you think, or do you know, would you say, Chris, that you've seen Atlanta, any of the top entrepreneurs that you saw this year that you were amazed by, or businesses that grew in Atlanta?
Boy, there's so many. I mean, that's what I love about, or there's many things that make me incredibly nerdy about entrepreneurship, but one of them is all of the ways in which people make their money. Like you were mentioning, with a fence business or with a tent business. I was at a school recently, and a girl goes out and she collects rocks and she paints them. And she'll paint them with college symbols. Like, for example, she'll have the Georgia G, and she'll have the Georgia G, and underneath it, rocks. So Georgia rocks. She's got the Georgia Tech rocks. Just a fascinating thing. There's so many different ways in which people are creating a living for their families. And I love that about entrepreneurship.
Well, one last question for you guys, and then we'll wrap up our program today and wish you all a happy holiday season. So it's a little early to say this, but would you marry an entrepreneur? Yes or no? Oh, I might have killed some dead air there, Ryan.
I'll answer that question.
Yeah.
What would you say? I would say yes, because then it's going to give you that lifetime of freedom and then opportunities that you make for yourself. So that would be my answer.
And a sugar mama for you.
Of course. That'd be nice. Right. That'd be the best life ever.
All right, you guys had 10 seconds. Not a bad. There's no wrong answers here. Would you say yes or no?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, really.
Got a
Why not?
No.
No. No. All right. We've got one yes and one no. Well, I wanted to thank all of the Hanks and Heisman kids for coming on today. It's really, truly was wonderful and fun. You guys gave unbelievable answers today. I know it's so hard out there for those of you that are entrepreneurs, or those of you that may even be kids that are listening that are children of entrepreneurs. It is not an easy thing. I know, being an entrepreneur myself, we are constantly on the motion, on the go, 24/7. And we just thank you all for your support. So we wish you all a happy holiday season, and thanks for listening to the Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X. You join us again here right when the new year starts on January 5th. We'll be bringing you Steve Einstein, CEO of Classic Tents and Events. Have a very happy holiday season.